So we have the privilege of having another one of our missionaries up sharing with us today, Peter Wigg. Peter Wigg has a ministry towards school children in which they give them after-school tutoring with the purpose of sharing the gospel with them. And he's been doing it for several years. 27 years. Was raised and born and raised in, born too in India. Born and raised in India. Let's welcome up Peter Wigg.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you so much. It's really great to be here again. We were here 4 years ago, and it's always great to be back. I went to ABI from 78 to 80. And I'll give you a small story of CCC. We were meeting in the parsonage that particular day. I mean, the smaller church before the bigger church was built. Or evening service. I think it was an evening service. And me and two of my friends, Ford Spink and Nate Steen, I don't know if any of you know those names. But anyway, we had a little rock band. And so we got up and gave the special number that night. It was Surfing USA to Christian Words. And we rocked out, and it was, you know, you're supposed to hear claps after that, right? It was dead silent. We kind of slithered off the stage with our tails between our legs, and anyway, that was that. But I really did want to mention that I think what Sky shared was really a blessing, I'm sure, for all of us. I just want to read a verse that I believe goes along with that. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Do this so that God can heal you. I remember about 20 years ago or so, we were having a staff retreat, and we were evaluating each other, and two or three of my staff said that they saw anger in me, which I didn't recognize. That was a blind spot. And that gave me the opportunity to work on that area of my life. Don't ask my wife if I've been growing in that area, but but yes, confession brings healing, as the Bible says. And I was really blessed by Vernon sharing, and when I saw Orlando 2018, our family was there for that send in Orlando. We happened to be in Orlando at that time, so, and I think, I'm pretty sure I saw your son on stage, so that's pretty exciting. Anyway, mi andriki vandanalu, ekadundadam chala santosham. I'm not cussing you out. That's Telugu, the language we speak in India, and it just means hello to everybody. We're so happy to be here, and we're so thankful that that we have the partnership with CCC and for your support. We definitely feel blessed every time we are in touch with you and visit. All right, I think I'm ready for the PowerPoint, if it's working. If it's not, oh, there we go. So this is my family. We won't give the middle two, our eldest daughter and his wife. They live in Kansas City. The one to the right, Stephen, is in New Jersey pursuing professional cricket. If you want to know about the game, come see me afterwards. And Caleb to the left is in Orlando, driving for Amazon and Papa John's at the moment. So if you want pizza, anyway. So that's our family. We were together about 6 weeks ago for the first time in 4 years, and it was really good to be together. Shining Stars, Centers for Youth Development. I'll tell you a little bit about what we do. We have been going for 27 years, and we're just thankful to God for how he has led us. Our vision says, no child left behind from being happy, valued, and whole, so that they can learn, grow, and become the leaders of tomorrow. We, you know, as Kathy said, I know she has a real heart for kids, but we believe it's better to build children than to have to repair broken adults. And so investing early, I really believe in that, and that's what Shining Stars strives to do. A little bit about the need. You notice that the whole of U.S. has about 337 million people. If you look at India from the ages of 14 and below, is about 30% of 1.4 billion, which is over 400 million, just 14 years and below. So it's a very young nation, and there's huge amounts of work to do, but God has allowed us to do this. And, you know, I read just a few weeks ago that India has surpassed China for being the largest country in the world. So we've got lots of work to do, and we'd love to have you all come. I mean, not at the same time, but if any of you would like to come and visit us, we'd welcome you. Dave has been to our place, and so he knows how to get there. So we'd love it if some of you can visit us at some point. A little bit more on the need. Why do we invest in children? I won't go into much detail, but malnutrition is a big problem. 38% of children's growth is stunted in India, statistics say. And poverty, and you know, many parents don't send their kids to school because they aren't educated themselves. And so we know that education can give children a much better future. So, and of course, poverty leads to many other issues, but we believe that if we can educate children, then that will, at least be a part of that education, that will give them a foot up. Gender bias is a huge problem still in India. 11% more of girls than boys die under the age of 5, just because girls are less valued than boys there. And so we want to try and change that trend. Our mission, how do we do what we do? We develop children through long-term holistic programs. Our ultimate goal is to disciple children for 10 or 15 years and you know, walk with them through life from as young as they come to us until about ages 14 and 15. And many of them we're still in touch with after they graduate from high school and go on. We still get them together for training and fellowship and all of that. Our vision includes partnerships with like-minded churches and or individuals, and that address their spiritual, socio-emotional, mental, and physical needs. So holistic development, and we partner with churches. Sometimes people meet in their homes, and so sometimes individuals take an interest in this, but most of our partnerships are with churches who count this as part of their ministry. Daily after-school programs, 5 or 6 days a week. Tutoring is a part of the Indian culture. Many parents want to send their kids to a tutoring program because they can't teach them, maybe. They're too busy or they're not educated enough. And so tutoring is just part of the culture. Send kids to tuition. And so that, you know, that opens a door for us to then build into these kids' lives. We strive to meet, you know, Luke 2:52, many of you know that. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. And we wanted the children to grow up with those same characteristics. And we have other components that I'll show you later. This is our staff. We have the young lady in the middle there is not with our staff anymore. She moved on, but we have 6 full-time staff. And the 2 sitting on the back left are alumni. They were with us from maybe nurseries, first, second, third grade, and grew up, and now they're part of our program. I'll tell you a little story about the guy second from the left. Krupa is his name. He, when he was, I don't remember, probably second, third, fourth grade, somewhere around there, he stole some money from Isaac, the guy sitting in the front left. He's been with us for a long time. And, you know, he was caught and reprimanded. Christian family, his dad was, so he worked together with us to confront the boy. Well, now he's our accountant. So he's been redeemed, I would say, and we trust him. So this just gives you some visuals of what we, you know, this is our kids will sit by age groups, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade, etc., and get help with their schoolwork. We have small discipleship groups, prayer groups, family time where kids are free to share what's happening at home and get prayer and support through that. We visit homes many times and try and get to know the kids and their families. Games, you know, moral stories, just, you know, we want this to be a family atmosphere and the kids growing in every area of their lives. And yeah, here's a little video Okay, I think we're going to play that separately. Game time. And you see that the staff are actually enjoying it more than the kids, or more competitive anyway. So anyway, that just gives you a feel of what our centers look like. And let's see, oops. All right, recap. This is really awesome, this long distance clicker, yeah. And other extracurricular activities. We spend as much time with the kids as possible, taking them out for field trips. And most of our teachers are homegrown. Many of them grew up in our programs and then come back and teach. So we do all we can to invest in these kids as much as we can. This gives you an idea of the country of India. We are in the state where it says 23 centers. That's the state of Telangana. And Hyderabad is the city that we live in, but we have centers in these three states. And one thing we've seen over the last couple of years especially is some of our partners are inspiring other people to start centers because they've really caught the vision. And so more centers are running than we can partner with. And it really gives church people or Christians a non-threatening, practical way to reach out to their neighbors. We're serving probably around 800 to 1,000 children now in these about 30 centers. I'm not sure when I started. I can't see the clock. Okay. What our partnerships involve is an initial training at the beginning of the academic year. This was a couple of months ago. We get all of our teachers and leaders together. Give them a three-day residential training, and then throughout the year, we continue the training, have quarterly get-togethers for them, online training, etc. And then we go visit their centers, ask them to send reports, and send some finances each month to support their centers. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what partnership looks like. Now, these are some of our alumni who have grown up and moved on. Many of them are giving back to Shining Stars in different ways, financially, in leadership. Two or three of our alumni are on our board. I'll show you a picture of the board in a minute. But we've, in that group there, we've got people in IT, social work, HR. Some guy works with a telephone company, et cetera, so they're all in all facets of society. And we try and get them to get together once in a while for fellowship and training. Three of these youngsters are on our board, and now these little kids that grew up with us we're reporting to, and it's very rewarding to see them growing and maturing. I'll just tell you a little bit about some of our youngsters. Ritu, in the red there, married Uttam right out of high school. And they were a part of starting the Nepali church in Hyderabad. I mean, there are many language groups. There are about 22 major languages in India. So when you go from state to state, the language changes. And so that can be a challenge. But Ritu is from Nepal. This young couple were a part of helping start that church. And now I've heard there are like 5 or 10 different congregations all over Hyderabad. So when we invest in disciple, the fruit, we can't count the fruit. God takes care of that, but we've just been so blessed. Her family was a Hindu family, and most of her parents and siblings have come to know the Lord. Swati also came to the Lord in about 6th, 7th grade with us, grew up, married the army guy, and they're raising, both of them from a Hindu family, but he came to the Lord through her testimony. And they're raising these two beautiful children and really walking with the Lord. Renuka was with us from maybe 5th, 6th, 7th grade on, graduated high school, got married, and now is running her own center out of her home. And these are her kids from her center in another town quite a ways from Hyderabad. But so again, we're seeing multiplication happening in spite of us. Harriet, married and has three beautiful children. She's on our board. She did her post-graduation in social work and is now a stay-home mom, and that's her family. Moses also grew up in our center from about maybe 10 or 11, and he's married and working for a company. She's a pharmacist. They run a pharmacy together. So gives you just a taste of some of our alumni and how the Lord is using them. Why children? And I'll just spend the last few minutes talking about children and the importance of discipleship. I know you're focusing on discipleship and CCC, and I believe definitely that's the heart of God. Children from the ages of 4 to 14 form one of the world's largest forgotten people groups, about one-third of the world's population. This age group, which comprises more than a billion, now this is an old quote, so I'm sure the statistics are a little bit different, but they're most receptive to the gospel, according to the late Johann Dupris. Between 60 to 85% of children in this age group who are presented with the gospel turn to Christ. Children are important to God. They're mentioned 1,957 times in the Bible. So we know that when children come to the Lord, we have an opportunity then to invest in them for a long time ahead. Train up a child. Familiar verses. I'm not really telling you anything new today, but I hope this re-inspires us and encourages us to work on discipleship as we do, and I know YWAM. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We kids do depart, we know, but we believe that if we have invested in them, they'll come back to the Lord at some point. How do we invest in children? Nothing, you know, you don't have to have a PhD. Everybody here in this room, every child and youth in this church who knows the Lord and is walking with him is qualified to disciple others. Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. So it's through the everyday of life that we disciple. It's not once a week over coffee or in Sunday school, but it's through our everyday example. And I was just thinking today, you know, anybody not human here? Obviously not. So when we walk along the road, sit down, we mess up, don't we? We make mistakes, we sin, don't we? But, you know, we can even teach others through our repentance and through our humility when we learn from those things and then admit them to others and move on. Jesus valued everybody. Mark 10, Jesus took the children in his arms. His disciples didn't value the children. They were kind of shooing them away. And it says in one version that Jesus was indignant. He was upset with his disciples. He said, no. And he said, unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Not childish. You know, there's a few characteristics of children I listed. They're simple in faith, moldable. They expect to be provided for. They don't worry if their father's going to provide. Teachable, fun-loving, honest, hero worshipers, forgetful in a good way, and forgiving. They forgive and forget. These are some of the characteristics we can learn from children, I believe. A couple of jokes. I've got to throw some humor in there. And this is kid humor, right? So, proverb punches. A first grade teacher collected well-known proverbs. She gave each child in her class the first half of the proverb and asked them to come up with the remainder of the proverb. So here are a few examples. A miss is as good as a mile, right? A miss is as good as a mile. But one of the kids said, a miss is as good as a mister. A penny saved is not much. Especially now, right? If at first you don't succeed, get new batteries. All right, so Kids, yeah. Kids are fresh, and we can learn a lot from them. A little girl became restless as the preacher's sermon dragged on and on, as I probably am. Finally, she leaned over to her mother and whispered, "Mommy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go?" So I'm going to let you go real quick here. I think one of the keys to discipleship is being with our disciples. You know, I mean, duh. But let me read Mark 3:14. I think this short, inconspicuous verse packs a punch. It just says, Jesus chose 12 men and called them apostles. He wanted these 12 to be with him, and he wanted to send them to other places to preach. Jesus hung out with these guys for 3.5 years. And I think if we're going to have an impact on people's lives, we need to spend a lot of time with them. You know, that should be a priority in our lives. And so the with him principle. I'm running out of time, but in Genesis 1:28, God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply. Okay, probably he was talking physical multiplication at that time. But his last, another familiar verse, but his last command, his first command and his last command were to be fruitful. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, a familiar verse for all of us. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and you can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world." So discipleship is simply passing on what we've learned to others. And the impact will be great. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, Second Timothy 2:2. "You and many others have heard what I have taught. You should teach the same thing to those people you can trust, then they will be able to teach it to others." So we're never to keep what we have learned to ourselves, are we? Paul said to Timothy, his disciple, "Teach others who will be able to teach others." 4 generations just in that short verse. So we have that opportunity to multiply ourselves, not just add to the church, oh, we've got more members, but to multiply ourselves in them. And in Colossians, in the first chapter of Colossians, it says that the gospel had reached to the whole world. This was just 30 years after Jesus left his disciples, and it says there in Colossians that by then the gospel had reached, just 30 years after from these 12 or those who had been under Jesus' leadership and the disciples after him. So what is our responsibility? Let's just close our eyes and we'll close up. But I'd just like to challenge all of us, including myself. Who is it that is in my life? Who do I have a relationship with or maybe I need to initiate so that I can develop a relationship in which I can pass on to them the things God is teaching me and live in front of them the Christian life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And we can only do that if we're following Christ. We can only ask others to follow us. So let's just take a moment and ask the Lord, who do you want me to continue investing in or newly invest in? And there definitely will be fruit. There will be multiplication in and through us that we can't keep track of, but if we're faithful, God will be too. So let's just take a moment and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? We thank you, Lord, for this morning, and I pray that you'll be with each and every one of us as we go our way and help us to continue taking initiative and being active in building into others' lives as others have built into our lives, and help us to look for those who can also invest in us and learn from them and grow and become a part of multiplying disciples of the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now to him who has called us to himself by faith through grace, so that we might extend that same grace to those who face a Christless eternity by means of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, go in the grace and peace of Christ and in the power of his Spirit to spread the good news to others.